This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick, filling in for John Hockenberry. Thank you so much for listening. And we begin today with the growing list of contacts and meetings between associates of President Donald Trump and Russians. Over the weekend, we learned that in June of 2016, three key members of the campaign met with a Russian lawyer with ties to the Kremlin because that lawyer said she had damaging information about Trump's opponent, Hillary Clinton. And then last night, a revelation that puts the meeting and others like it in a whole new light. The New York Times reports that the president's oldest son, Donald Trump Jr., was told beforehand in an email that the information the lawyer had was part of a Russian government effort to damage Clinton. The Times has now obtained a copy of that email, which stated that the information, quote, would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia and would be very useful to your father, end quote. And also said, this is obviously very high level and sensitive information, but is part of Russia and its government's support for Mr. Trump, end quote. Donald Trump Jr.'s reply, if it's what you say, I love it, especially later in the summer, end quote. It's a stunning revelation. Now, the Russian lawyer in question is named Natalia Veselitskaya, and on NBC's Today show this morning, she denied any connection to the Kremlin.
Have you ever worked for the Russian government? Do you have connections to the Russian government?
Yep.
But also in that June 9th meeting, Paul Manafort, who was President Trump's campaign manager at the time, and Jared Kushner, who did not initially disclose this meeting on security clearance forms as required by intelligence agencies. Donald Trump Jr. gave a third statement to the New York Times explaining the meeting. He said after pleasantries were exchanged, the woman stated that she had information that individuals connected to Russia were funding the Democratic National Committee and supporting Mrs. Clinton. Her statements were vague, ambiguous, and made no sense. No details or supporting information was provided or even offered. It quickly became clear that she had no meaningful information. Ryan Goodman is a former special counsel for the Department of Defense and founding co-editor of Just Security. It's a forum on law, rights, and U.S. national security.
What's so remarkable here is that the initial statement on the record by Donald Trump Jr. is on its own fairly incriminating, because in it, at least the second time when he changed his story to an admission that the conversation was about Hillary Clinton and the connection to the Russian government or Russian information, he basically is admitting that that was the purpose of the meeting, because he in fact says that that was the pretext for the meeting, and then this lawyer tried to turn the conversation afterwards to something about adoption. So we already know, according to his own statement, that he was intending to meet with somebody that was going to provide useful information to him. So the one aspect of what he said on Sunday that was helpful to his case is that he claimed that he had no knowledge of who the person was beforehand or that she was a Russian national, anything like it. The most recent revelation from the New York Times in the last 24 hours is, in fact, the third turn on this story, which says, no, indeed, he was notified by email in writing that the purpose of the meeting was that the Russian government had information.
What interest might this potentially be to Robert Mueller, the special counsel and investigators from the Justice Department?
I think the primary interest is the question of, was there collusion or what I would describe as coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia or the Russian government during the election season. And the key question here is that it actually does not matter whether or not this was a Russian government agent, but rather that it was a Russian national. Our election laws are very clear that you cannot solicit or accept any contribution or thing of value, that's the terminology that's used, from a foreign national in a campaign. So if the Russians were giving things of value, such as promises of Clinton's emails or the DNC emails, then that alone would be sufficient under the law, under federal campaign finance law, which prohibits foreign nationals from making those kinds of contributions. And anybody who's like an American that would solicit or accept such a contribution could be criminally liable.
So that's campaign finance law, which is important. Many Americans have been also focused on the idea that you mentioned, coordination or collusion. Does the notification that Donald Trump Jr. got here, that the Russian government was behind the information he and others would receive at this meeting, point to anything that illuminates coordination or collusion?
So I think it does provide evidence of that. The idea here is that this is the earliest meeting that we know of, and it seems to set the ball rolling. What the Donald Trump Jr. and then in that meeting with Paul Manafort, the campaign director, and Donald Trump Sr.'s son-in-law, Jared Kushner, are essentially saying to the Russians is that they would appreciate their help.
Now, Donald Trump Jr., of course, lied to the New York Times the first time he was asked about this, later said more about it before this latest revelation. Also in the room, as we mentioned, however, Paul Manafort, who was the campaign manager at the time, and Jared Kushner. Now, Jared Kushner, who's a senior White House advisor now and a government employee, did not initially disclose this meeting on security clearance forms where he's required to.
That's right. That was actually the second item of great legal significance that I think comes out of this meeting. It is a federal crime to provide false information on those security forms. False information includes omission. If you do not tell the federal government that you've had contacts with foreign nationals, especially if, now that we know about this email, it's a foreign national that was coming in with a connection to the foreign government, Russia. I think what's very significant about the Donald Trump Jr. imbroglio of the June meeting is its implications for Jared Kushner. It is not as easily plausible. It's no longer plausible, I would say, even in my opinion, that he can say that it was an innocent oversight not to report the meeting. Here's one of the major reasons why. He could otherwise have said, look, I had so many meetings with foreign nationals and representatives of governments over time. But the reason that you have to give that information to the government on a security form is because they want to know, has anybody tried to influence you and influence your behavior in government? That's what the meeting was about, even by Donald Trump Jr.'s own admission. So that's what's, I think, quite devastating. I do think that that means that the Mueller could hold this over the head of Kushner, and that's what would happen in a normal investigation. You'd have a clear legal violation where somebody's got a great deal of exposure to criminal liability. And from that, he could move to turning him, flipping him, so that he could provide more information to the investigation about other matters.
We mentioned that the lawyer in this meeting, Natalia Veselnitskaya, denies now vehemently that she has any connections to the Russian government whatsoever. Does that make a difference any longer now that this email apparently exists where Rob Goldstone confirms to Donald Trump Jr. that indeed it is the Russian government who has information?
I think it proves the lie in a certain sense. It's a strong indication that she's just I don't have a softer term for it, that she's lying. It was already suspicious that somebody that is so otherwise connected to representing Russian government interests, that has been lobbying so hard on behalf of the interests of at least the Russian government with respect to lifting of human rights sanctions, which is a huge project for Putin himself, would say that, oh, you know, after this meeting, I didn't say a word to the Russian government about it. I just think that on its own was highly implausible. Now that we have the email, it looks like it's an outright lie.
Ryan Gunneman, I've noticed as this meeting has been revealed since before the weekend and in the days since that there's been a shifting set of explanations from people associated with the Trump White House, basically going from denying that any coordination with Russians could have ever taken place to a different kind of explanation that maybe it wasn't so bad or maybe it was innocent, even if this meeting did take place. And many other campaign operatives, Republicans who've participated in other campaigns, have since said that, and maybe it's easy to say now, but they've said that if this had happened to them, if a meeting like this had been set up or if they had gotten an email like the one they got from Rob Goldstone, they would have called the FBI, not taken the meeting and called investigators.
I think that's right. And at the very least, after that meeting takes place, the first thing you've got to be thinking about is we've got to call the FBI. immediately. So the fact that this has never been disclosed until this moment that it's broken in the news is another indication that there's a kind of an illicit intent or purpose, or might even say a criminal intent or purpose.
And let's continue to look for a second at Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, because this meeting that we've been discussing June 9th is not the only one that Kushner failed to disclose, certainly not the only one that he took. And we read news earlier in the spring that indeed he was interested in setting up back channel communications with Russians, potentially using Russian communications equipment.
So there's this also startling piece of news that broke that Kushner meets directly with Ambassador Kislyak from Russia and Michael Flynn in Trump Tower in early December. and tries to set up this offline communication. And the most unusual aspect of it seems to be that he says, why don't we meet inside the Russian embassy or consul so that he can have direct communications with Moscow? It is difficult to conceive of a good reason that anybody would try to set something up like that. The most charitable explanation I can think of on behalf of Kushner would be that he was a neophyte, a novice, and that he was not skilled in foreign policy or the understandings of the workings of governments and diplomacy, so that he came up with a little bit of a harebrained idea. But even that doesn't seem to fly because he's sitting in the room with Michael Flynn, who would you would imagine would put the kibosh on something like that, saying, of course, we would not really pursue it or some way or another. So that's just something startling about Kushner in particular.
So, Ryan Goodman, before we let you go, there's a great deal of information that Americans are learning now. Let's take a step back. The intelligence community, the FBI, the CIA, and others have concluded that Russia intervened in the 2016 election to tilt it in favor of Donald Trump. We've learned now about this meeting with Donald Trump Jr., where he was informed that the information against Donald Trump's opponent that he would get came from the Russian government. You're taking all of this in as well as a former special counsel. Where do we sit?
So I think we sit, unfortunately, for our country, on something of a kind of a political bombshell, if not a legal bombshell. It seems as though we now have very specific information that says that that campaign was soliciting and encouraging the activities of the Russian government. It's just so difficult to escape that conclusion if you look at the evidence in a kind of as reasonable a manner as possible.
And what does that mean?
Well, I think that that means potential criminal violations of campaign finance law, which happens to be the law that would actually most directly apply as a criminal matter to collusion/coordination. When people ask, well, what would be the crime, that's the clearest case of it.
Ryan Goodman is former special counsel for the Department of Defense and founding co-editor of Just Security, a forum on law, rights, and U.S. national security. Ryan Goodman, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.